WrestleMania 39 officially in the books. We got a lot to talk about. Not going to waste any time. Let's get into this video. Alrighty, guys, you know the drill. If you want to support me, hit the subscribe button down below. Hit the join button down below if you want to become a channel member, receive a couple of exclusive perks. You can also listen to every single video on Apple, Google, Spotify, and more, linked down below. But WrestleMania 39, just getting off the air about a half hour ago, we are going to talk about the entire weekend. We're going to jump around. We're not going to go match by match from, you know, night one all the way till, you know, the tonight, the main event and all that stuff. We're going to just be jumping around, giving my overall thoughts. You guys know how I do this review videos if you've watched the channel before. I'm not really a big match by match breakdown guy. I don't think that's my strong suit. I like to talk about results, where they're headed, my favorite moments, and all that jazz. So we're going to jump around a little bit and talk about WrestleMania 39. And I'm probably going to spend the most time talking about, of course, the main event that just got over with. We're going to kick off with this. The undisputed WWE Universal Championship match between Roman Reigns and the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. I mean, where do we begin? You know, before we talk about the result, and I feel very indifferent about the result. I'm not mad. You guys heard my, in my prediction video, you know, how I felt about the Cody Rhodes-Roman Reigns match. And after we just witnessed what we witnessed, I feel very indifferent. I think there's pros, I think there's cons. And the positive is, very intrigued to see where we're heading from here. But let's talk about, real quick, the match itself. First off, the entrances. Cody Rhodes, big fight feel. Awesome entrance jacket. Brody Lee's son at ringside, which brought a freaking tear to my eye. Roman Reigns had an awesome entrance with the pianos, and then just Roman Reigns typical, you know, God mode entrance. It was just big fight feel. The atmosphere in SoFi Stadium. We've been hyping up this matchup, you know, before it was even announced here on the channel. We were talking about this in November when we were discussing Survivor Series, and in December we were rumoring Royal Rumble stuff. We've been talking about this matchup for months, and to finally see it play out tonight, the atmosphere in SoFi was absolutely incredible. I did not sit down from the time that promo package before the matchup started to literally right now. I've been standing for the last hour and change, just invested. I texted my uncle while we were watching this, and I was like, I feel like I'm about to get in the ring right now. I'm so fired up for this matchup. But it was absolutely awesome, man. This match was professional wrestling. You know, there was a couple things this weekend where I really felt like this is the shit that I love about pro wrestling. And this match was awesome, man. It had a little bit of everything in there, from Solo getting involved the third time, then he gets thrown out. The Usos run in. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are there to make the save. Paul Heyman getting involved. Cody near falls. Roman near falls. Awesome announce table bump. Just being invested the entire time, which is what I love. I love being invested in the story. That's my favorite shit about professional wrestling, man. Storylines, atmosphere, they mean more to me than moves. And oh, yeah, that was a great match. That storyline and atmosphere and big fight feel, man, that is what I love about professional wrestling. And that is what we got here tonight in this main event. I got the card pulled up on Wikipedia, so don't forget anything. 34-minute main event, and it honestly flew by, man. I was just standing just right in front of the TV, just like, here we freaking go for this entire matchup, man. And they had me from freaking bell to bell, which is our new Noah Nation Wrestling podcast, new episode this Wednesday morning. But awesome matchup, man. In my opinion, and we talked about this going in, not everybody's going to agree. That's fine. But as I felt going in is the same way I feel coming out. It was, in my opinion, one of the best WrestleMania main events of all time. Felt like one of the most important WrestleMania main events of all time. One of the big fight feel-ist Mania main events of all time. Certainly, you know, the biggest match in WrestleMania, in the WrestleMania main event in the last decade since WrestleMania 30, you know, and then we can start, you know, trickling back from there. But like, absolutely the best in the last decade, felt like the biggest WrestleMania event, main event, excuse me. It had everything going for it, man. This is what I love about pro wrestling. Let's talk about the result. You guys know what happened. Solo Sikoa got thrown out. Paul Heyman distracts the ref. Solo comes back out. Samoan spike to Cody. I believe Roman hit the spear after that. 1-2-3. Roman Reigns retains the undisputed Universal Championship. We got a lot to talk about. Like I said, I feel indifferent. I feel there's pros. I feel there's cons. I don't know where I'm going to start. I'm going to jump around the pros and cons. I'm just going to start shooting. That's the best I do. I don't write scripts here. I don't write notes. I just shoot from the hip like freaking Conan at the Hall of Fame. Like, this is how I do things here on the Noah Nation Wrestling YouTube channel. So we're going to jump around between pros and cons. My biggest con for me, and I talked about this in the prediction video, 1,000 days as Undisputed Universal Champion. More specifically, of course, the Universal title, but collectively, the Undisputed Universal Champion. 1,000 days to me is just a number. Does it look pretty on WWE records? Yes. Can WWE use that for clout and spew that record everywhere? Oh, we had a champion for 1,000 days for the first time this many years. Oh, Roman Reigns is in this, you know, elite list. This yada yada yada. 1,000 days is this big number. Will they do that? Absolutely. That's where they're headed. He's not, if he wasn't going to lose the title here, he's not losing the title before 1,000 days. And I don't know when that day exactly is. I don't know, I even know what 900 something day we're at. So it's going to be sometime, I think, before SummerSlam, but correct me if I'm wrong. To me, that's just a number, though, because as a viewer, it's no difference to me whether Roman has the title for 900 plus days or 1,000 days. To me, Roman's just the champion, and when he's the champion, he's the champion. When he loses it, then he's no longer the champion. So I'm not looking every day like, oh, Roman, 1,000 days. Every time he comes out, it doesn't feel any more or less important to me because of the number of days he's had it. And yes, obviously, he's had it for well over 2 years. This is his third WrestleMania main event going in as a champion. So obviously, there's a different presence about Roman Reigns and the championship. But again, whether it was going to be 900 something days, you know, getting capped at, or it's going to be 1,000 plus days when he loses the title, it was no difference to me. And I think a lot of people feel the same way. Oh, we got to have Roman reach 1,000 days. We've already made it this far. I get it. But at the same time, it makes no difference to me as a viewer watching Roman Reigns, whether he's held the title for this many days or this many days. So to me, 1,000 days is just a number. Again, we're going to jump around to pros and cons here. I don't even know if you want to call this a pro or con, but now you got to look at the list of who's left. And again, I know we're going to jump around. We're going to talk about all of Mania. This is going to be a long video. I don't know if you want to call this a pros or cons, but you got to look at the list of who's left to fight Roman Reigns. I'm sure this is going to be a hot topic here on the channel and more videos and podcasts to come. Will it be Jey Uso? I don't think it's going to be Sami Zayn or Kevin Owens or the tag champ. So Jey Uso, Cody's still in there. Seth Rollins. Three names. To me, and I will say this right now, and I said it in my prediction video and I stand by it. If Cody fights Roman Reigns again and defeats him then, it is not going to have, in my opinion, the same impact as it would have had tonight at WrestleMania. That, I believe, is a con. So if Cody Rhodes is going to be a world champion in the, you know, the next year and the next, and before, you know, 2023 comes to an end, if you will, even during the run of Roman Reigns, if you will, it's going to be, in my opinion, with a new world title, whether that be the reintroduction of the World Heavyweight Championship on Monday Night Raw, it won't be by defeating Roman Reigns, in my eyes. It still could be. We still could be heading towards Cody versus Roman Part 2 in Detroit, Ford Field, SummerSlam. Got to be a big show, former home of WrestleMania, of course. But to me, Cody versus Roman, running it back and having Cody win in the second attempt, it just wouldn't hit the same as it was at WrestleMania. I'm not saying it wouldn't be big. Not saying I wouldn't be excited, y'all, but I'm wearing a Cody Rhodes shirt right now. I don't mean to sound like a Cody mark. You guys know I also have a Roman Reigns shirt. I've worn it in the videos. But to me, if he does that, it's not going to have the same effect. So even though he's still in the running, I think Jey, I think Seth Rollins even, are now above Cody Rhodes because it just, I don't know, I want to say makes more sense, but I think it's just going to hit a little bit more, especially Jey, even though I'm not a big, you know, I love Jey Uso. But Jey, Universal Champion, defeating Roman Reigns. I know it makes sense storyline-wise, but I don't know. Cody seemed like the better option to me. But everybody's got their own opinions. I do want to talk about that whole, oh, Cody needs to go through adversity thing. Because that was the most annoying thing leading up to this WrestleMania main event. Is, oh, Cody hasn't gone through any adversity. It's been a too easy of a road for him to WrestleMania. You know, he can't just walk in there and win so easy. Mother effer, Cody already went through all his adversity through his first WWE run and came back and got injured. That's his adversity. I don't like that camp, and I hope that's not why they made this decision, and I don't think it is. I think they strictly made this decision for Roman Reigns to go to 1,000 days as champion and probably to use Cody and Roman to Roman unifies the belts over here, and Cody's going to be the man on Raw probably for a new world title, and we're going to discuss that. That whole adversity thing is such a stupid thing. And listen, I also, to talk about pros and cons and we're jumping around, part of the thing that is a con to me is, and I put this on Twitter the other day, is like Cody walking into this matchup and losing almost feels, and I don't want to compare it exact because it's not exact, but it feels a little bit to me like, imagine at WrestleMania 21 if Batista walked into WrestleMania and lost to Triple H. It just wouldn't feel right. Like, oh, but Batista's got to go through some adversity before he wins the world title. Like, no, that was the moment. Same thing with John Cena on that night. Imagine if he just lost to JBL. And I know these situations are a little different. Those were two guys finally reaching the main event, or just for the first time reaching the main event, and these, you know, young stars becoming, you know, fresh faces in the main event. Cody, even though this is his first main event, all, you know, new to the world championship matches. It's not like he's been in the WWE for only 2-3 years. He's had a long history. I'm not comparing them, but to me it felt a little bit like that. But again, there's more reasons. So there's a lot of pros and cons. I feel very indifferent to the result. To sum this all up, where I think we go from here is I think Roman, and I think this, I want this to happen. Like, we got through WrestleMania. Roman's still the champ. Effing unify these titles already, man. It should have happened already, in my opinion. Hell, Roman should have never even held two titles, in my opinion, but that was a Vince McMahon decision. Triple H decided to run with it. This week, and I mean this week, don't wait till after Backlash, don't wait till after SummerSlam, this week or next week if there's a draft. And I know we haven't had any word of that, but here's what I'm saying. We have Monday Night Raw tomorrow night. Raw after Mania, probably going to be the best Raw after Mania in years. I'm looking forward to it. We have SmackDown. I believe this week, whether it's on Raw or SmackDown, we should have the official title unification of the WWE and Universal Championship. We can retire, as it's been rumored, the Universal Championship. Roman holds one title, you know, collectively, which will be the WWE Championship, which leads into his 1,000 days as title reign, in his title reign, and he stays on SmackDown. We lead up to Backlash with a World Heavyweight Championship tournament on Monday Night Raw, which is finaled by Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins in that matchup, who we have been having build to unintentionally beef. Well, obviously, I'm not unintentionally, but kind of be underneath all of the WrestleMania, you know, scenes this week, because they both had interviews, both talking about each other. They got heat with each other, you know, because of their storyline last year, so they can pick up right where they left off. That is exactly where I think we should head. I don't think we should waste any more time. Roman got through WrestleMania. He's still the champion, holding two titles. Unify those titles this week, you know, whether or tomorrow night, and then by the end of the show, introduce a tournament. I literally think we should move that fast, because we got through WrestleMania and there's no reason to wait any longer. And I know some people might think, oh, we can't do it that fast. You gotta let it breathe. This side of the, we're done. We got through it. We are through WrestleMania. I'm sorry to keep repeating myself, but this is how I get to the point. This is how I explain. Roman, stay to SmackDown, unify his belts, put the world title back on Raw. That was one of the biggest things about WrestleMania as well, is Raw needs a world title back. Raw needs a world title back. Cody needs to bring the championship to Raw. He didn't win. Now let's bring a championship to Raw. And if there's a draft, which I hope, I really hope they announce a draft tomorrow night on Raw for literally 2 weeks from now, well, 8 days from now on, you know, the second Raw after WrestleMania next week, because this is going to be going up on Monday. So next week on Raw, and I know that might be soon, but I think that's what they should do. I think they should move that fast, or at least announce it for the Raw after Backlash. I think that would also be a good idea, because I think it's time to get some structure on these shows. World title, draft. That's what I would do. That's what I would do. I know we're branching off a little bit from WrestleMania and all that stuff, but it all plays in to the factor of this main event. And again, pros and cons. And I don't know how much more I can even say on this. I'll probably be talking about it more in videos, more on the podcast this week. So Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes, one of the best WrestleMania main events, in my opinion, of all time. A lot of pros and cons in the result. And in a positive light, I am very much looking forward to seeing where we're heading this week on WWE television. Again, we're just going to jump around in this video to give my overall WrestleMania 39 thoughts, because I don't want to just run through, oh, match this and match that. That's just not how I do things. Let's talk about last night's main event, Saturday night, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Usos. One of the best, if not the best, tag team match in WrestleMania history. Excuse me, I mean, not including like the TLC matches, or like the Triangle Ladder match and the TLC 2 at WrestleMania 7. Like, those are obviously these epic, like, you know, weapons and stipulation matches, but just pure tag team wrestling, I think this has probably got to be the best one in WrestleMania history, right? Plus it may have ended, plus the titles were on the line, plus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn came out on top in a awesome, very storyline driven, just emotional main event. Right guys won in the right spot of the main event, which I loved as well. Just perfect wrestling here. Let's just run through, I guess, a little bit of night one, since we're jumping around anyway. Rhea Ripley, Charlotte Flair. In my opinion, probably Charlotte Flair's best match on the main roster, maybe ever. I mean, listen, maybe some of her early Sasha Banks matches in like year one, you know, of coming up to the main roster were really good, but it's just been so long that I forget. But it's been a while. I mean a while, years since I watched the Charlotte Flair match, and I went, damn, that was really good. And her and Rhea tore it up. It was better than I expected. And it started slow, and I was like, but not in a bad way. And it just built and built and built. And there were some nasty bumps. Listen, I have given my own discredit to Charlotte Flair in the past because she's just been so shoved down our throats and in our face and 14-time champion by Vince McMahon over the years, all that stuff. But credit where it's due, she killed it last night. She took some nasty bumps. She put Rhea Ripley over. It was an awesome matchup. One of Rhea's best matches of her WWE career. She came out as SmackDown Women's Champion, which I think is going to be a nice fresh face for the SmackDown Championship, or just the SmackDown Women's Division. And then on the other side of things, here's where we go back to jumping around. Screw it. Raw Women's Championship match, Bianca Belair and Asuka, really good matchup as well. Not as good as Rhea and Charlotte, but still really good matchup. Bianca retained, which I wasn't really surprised about. I picked Asuka, but I wasn't really surprised that Bianca Belair retained the title. Bianca's the John Cena of the women's division, and I mean that in the best way. I don't look at that in a negative way. I could literally see Bianca going the rest of her career never turning heel. Like, she's just that purebred of a babyface to me, and I think WWE sees that. I think they're going to keep riding that. And now that Rhea is on SmackDown, or will be on SmackDown as their champion, I think Rhea, you know, will be, what am I trying to say? Rhea will be the person they built that around. And I can really see Raquel getting rose up this year, Liv as well. Rhea, Raquel, Liv being some of your top acts on SmackDown. As for Charlotte Flair, and I don't think they're going to rush this, you know, anytime soon, maybe SummerSlam, maybe they push it to WrestleMania next year. But Charlotte, eventually I see her moving to Raw. Her and Bianca is a match they've been wanting to do for a while, and it's going to be a SummerSlam. It's going to be a WrestleMania, and I could see that being the matchup, honestly, where Bianca loses the title to give Charlotte another win. But I'm very interested, honestly, to see how they divvy up these women's divisions when we eventually get a draft, because they're definitely in need of some freshness on both sides, especially the SmackDown side, in my opinion. But and to talk about some of the other women's stuff that happened on WrestleMania, Damage Control lost against Trish, Becky, and Lita, which is a really good six-woman tag. Surprised me. I didn't really have many expectations for that matchup. I was just like, all right, this is going to be good. Lita and Trish are out there, and they can obviously still go to an extent, so, like, it was cool to see them, and they killed it, and this was an awesome six-woman tag near the end, and Damage Control lost, and as I said in my prediction video, man, if they lost, time to break them up. Like, you can keep, you know, Bayley and... don't keep any of them together. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but like, EO, go on her own. Obviously, she's gonna be a huge act on her own, and it's just time to break them up, man. They haven't done much successfully as a heel unit, and a lot of people have been indifferent on them, including myself. Like, I liked the idea in the beginning. It just seemed to kind of lose momentum throughout their run since they formed last year at SummerSlam. So I do believe that now that they lost at SummerSlam, at WrestleMania, time to break them up. And then as for the women's showcase matchup on WrestleMania Sunday, six of the women killed it. Ronda and Shayna basically took a nap the entire matchup, which was, like, typical. Could have expected that. Ronda literally did nothing the entire match. Comes in, taps out, I believe, Shotzi to an armbar. And there we go. It was a good matchup, though. The six women that did participate in this match did a very good job. It wasn't as good as the men's match from the night before. That was freaking incredible. We'll talk about that in a second. But it was good. It was fine. I expect Liv and Raquel, honestly, especially Raquel, to have a big 2023. And I guess Ronda and Shayna won this matchup, so I assume we'll be getting them versus Becky and Lita maybe at Backlash, or hell, maybe on a big Monday Night Raw match tonight. We will see. To talk about the men's WrestleMania showcase matchup, oh my freaking god, did these eight guys go out there, and in 8 minutes and 30 seconds, according to Wikipedia, and I thought about that, absolutely crushed it, man. By the way, Titus O'Neil on commentary for this match, as well as the Intercontinental title match on night one, put him on commentary once a match, every pay-per-view, like, freaking hilarious, and he added a little bit to this WrestleMania Showcase men's match, man. These guys were out there killing it. We had Chad Gable, Chaos Theory on Braun Strowman, which looked incredible, and then my favorite spot, as well as a lot of other people from this match, and there were several spots that were just, like, holy crap throughout this match. Braun Strowman's doing his little choo-choo train around the ring. Angelo Dawkins cuts him off. Titus O'Neil's just freaking marking out at the table, and it's just big popping in SoFi. Ricochet then follows that up, springboard shooting star to the outside, just madness, and then we get Ricochet back into the ring, shooting star on Montez Ford. He gets the knees up, yada yada yada, Street Profits win. But what a freaking fatal four-way tag team match, man. These guys killed it. I expect Street Profits to get a tag team title match. Even though I think, honestly, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Usos, whether it's that just them two, two-on-two, or whether you get like a six-man tag or something with Solo and Cody or whatever it may be, or Roman and Cody, whatever that may be, at Backlash, if that's not going to be the case, I would love to see Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Usos at Backlash and like a stipulation match. I think that'd be sick. But Street Profits, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, that could be a huge and really fun main event for a Raw, you know, upcoming. I think that'd be great to see as well. Of course, that men's fatal four-way tag on night one was following up Austin Theory and John Cena for the United States title in the opening matchup. This match was fine. Listen, John Cena, he's clearly not going too crazy in these matches anymore. We saw this at the end of in that tag match in December. We saw it at WrestleMania, obviously. And now listen, I'm not hating, you know, respect to John Cena. I'm just glad he's there, but clearly he's out there trying not to get hurt because, you know, obviously Hollywood's more important, which I understand. He gave 20 years basically to the WWE. I understand if Hollywood at 45 years old is more important, but clearly he's, you know, not going out there and putting on freaking matches like he was, you know, in 2015, 2016. And again, I get it. Austin Theory won after a little shenanigans, as expected. Big win for Austin Theory. It's really all I can ask for. And honestly, that's probably why this match kicked off the show, because Cena knew he probably wasn't going to go out there and do too much. So he's like, listen, probably just put us on first so nobody's got these huge expectations. We'll do enough to keep it hot and then we can move on. Listen, I didn't hate the match. I thought it was fine. It was good. I just loved seeing Cena, so that's good enough for me. And Theory got the win, so I think it's a win-win. Nothing to complain about there. On the flip side, since we talked about the U.S. title match, we'll talk about the Intercontinental Championship match. It's hard to say what the best match of the weekend was, because there's so many different matches here that gave me different feelings and evoked different emotions for different reasons. But if you just want to talk about a freaking banger, pun intended, look no further than this match, man. Gunther, Sheamus, McIntyre beat the piss out of each other. Just chops, haymakers, claymore, freaking bro kick, the beat to the boundary, whatever it's called. This match was awesome, man. They absolutely, from the opening bell, were just beating the hell out of each other, as expected. I don't think any of us expected anything less, but they certainly delivered. I mean, again, I can't even say this is the best match of the week. It's hard to say what the best match of the weekend, man, because on night two, you had the Intercontinental title, Hell in a Cell, Cody versus Roman, all great for their individual reasons. Then you got night one with the Fatal 4-Way Tag, Rollins and Logan Paul, Ray and Dominic, the main event, like, Rhea and Charlotte. Like, there were so many great, honestly, matches this weekend. I can't sit here and pick a match of the weekend, but clearly this one was in the running, man. Gunther's still the Intercontinental Champion. Interested to see who's going to step up to him next. I think Sheamus is still in the running to dethrone him for that gold, maybe at Money in the Bank, maybe at SummerSlam, we'll see. But man, what a freaking Intercontinental title reign for Gunther, man. He has held that title since June, I believe, or July. It's been a while. It's obviously been a while, and just walking into Mania in a banger matchup and retaining it, doing wonders for Gunther, man. And I expect this time next year, WrestleMania 40, I will not be surprised if Gunther is a Royal Rumble match winner and Gunther is main eventing WrestleMania against a Cody Rhodes or against a fill in the blank. I don't know, but definitely is going to be in the running. Triple H is taking care of this dude. He is going to be a big time player for years to come. Gunther, still the Intercontinental Champ. Brock Lesnar beat Omos in a match which was pretty much exactly what I expected. And hey, I was looking forward to it. You guys heard me. I wasn't hating on this match. Hell, I made a whole video defending it. Went 5 minutes, as expected. Lesnar won. Big F5 on Omos. No complaints from me. Might as well throw this in before we talk about some of these other really good matches. We had two surprise bonus matches on the show with the host, The Miz. I'm not going to get in detail of how everything happened, but of course, Pat McAfee returned and defeated The Miz on night one. Nice little moment there. And then what the hell happened on Sunday, man? Shane McMahon comes out, which is like, okay. You know, I'm not that I hate Shane McMahon, but after like the Royal Rumble 2022 and all that situation went down and people were saying about online and backstage and this, that, and the other, I was like, you know what, I'm good if I don't see Shane McMahon in a ring anymore, man. I'll keep my memories of him, you know, him getting suplexed, you know, off the ladder to the table by Shawn Michaels and all those good times. But he came out, had the big entrance. We start this match between him and Miz impromptu. Snoop Dogg makes it, and this dude blows out his knee or ankle or something, and Snoop Dogg, I guess being the pro he is, calls an audible and just starts wrestling The Miz himself. Little beat down, does a freaking rock bottom, or not a rock bottom, excuse me, people's elbow, and just pins The Miz. It was literally, I feel bad. Like, I hope Shane's okay. Hope there's no serious injuries or anything like that. The worst, you know, hopefully it's something simple that he can get a, you know, what am I trying to say, surgery on, and he'll be okay. But I'm going to be honest, man. This is one of the funniest things of WrestleMania weekend. It may be the funniest thing of WrestleMania weekend, man. I know I'm laughing at somebody's injury here, but Shane will be all right. All right, he'll be okay. I don't know why he was out there anyway. He'll be all right. And then Snoop Dogg just being like the pro, just, all right, calling an audible here. Just, yo, we'll call it in the ring. If Snoop Dogg can call it in the ring, all these indie wrestlers can call it in the ring. That's all I got to say about that. What else we got, man? This is a freaking weekend to talk about. Seth Rollins and Logan Paul, as expected, just putting on one of the best matches of the weekend. I predicted it might be the show stealer of the weekend. There's so much other good stuff here that I can't, again, sit here and say what the best match of the weekend was. Like, I'd really have to sit down and start ranking these things, and I'm not doing that right now. But Logan Paul, this dude was made for pro wrestling, man. Like, this dude kills it every time. Excuse me. He is in a WWE ring, and he brings something different, brings something exciting. Seth Rollins, freaking WrestleMania, you know he's going to show out. He's basically the Mr. WrestleMania of the modern era. We got KSI in the prime bottle out there, which was freaking hilarious. Pulls KSI in, who's in the prime bottle. I got some prime over there, by the way. What was that, strawberry watermelon, that new flavor? Banging. But Logan Paul, the frog splash to KSI through the announce table was a freaking awesome spot. Was like, oh my god, and also had me laughing at the same time, I think, because it was just a mascot he was diving on, obviously forgetting about who was in there, but just the fact that he just frog splashed this prime bottle. Just an awesome matchup, super fun stuff there. I very much expect Rollins to be in the world title running, whether that be for a reintroduced world heavyweight title or fighting Roman Reigns down the line for the Undisputed Universal title. I mean, I don't think you could deny that any longer. He's been through the US title on Raw. He did this match against Logan Paul at WrestleMania, won it here at WrestleMania. There's the logical step for Seth Rollins next is to be competing for a world heavyweight championship. And there was a rumored main event of Rollins versus Cody versus Roman, triple threat at Backlash. We'll see if that happens, but can very much see us heading in that direction, or just Rollins and Cody threw that idea out earlier and maybe a tournament final, which would make sense. Not to go back on that, but you guys remember, like, right before the Royal Rumble, that idea was floating around online that we might get a unification after the Royal Rumble and then a tournament leading up to WrestleMania to crown a new world champion. That was legitimately a rumor, and a legit rumor going around online before the Royal Rumble. And then obviously it fizzled out, but it's even more potential now that we've gotten through WrestleMania. But I don't know, remains to be seen what's going to happen there. What else we got to talk about? I'm purposely saving Rey Mysterio and Dominic for last, by the way. We have Edge and Finn Balor. I believe that there's the only two matches we still have to talk about here. Edge and Finn Balor, Hell in a Cell. Brutal match, man. I know people were complaining online of the little bit of a stoppage there so Finn can get stabled up, because he clearly must have gotten busted wide because of the ladder that hit him in the head. And we couldn't really see it, one, because they took the cameras off of him, and then even when he was back in the matchup, obviously he was still painted up. Plus, I think somebody said on Twitter that they stapled him up at ringside, so hats off to Finn. You know, he freaking got busted on that ladder, stapled him up, and kept going. And these guys had their freaking foot on the gas, man. It was like brutal spot at the brutal spot, at their chair shot, at their kendo stick spot. Beat the hell out of each other. Drop kick through the table on the outside to Edge was a sick spot. They had a bunch of colorful weapons in here, painted to their respective colors, you know, purple kendo sticks, red chairs. It was just freaking awesome stuff there. What did we have? We had an execution off a ladder, which was sick. I'm pretty sure Edge hit that against Eddie Guerrero back in the day in their no DQ match on SmackDown, so it was almost a little callback, if you will, to that. What else happened in this match, man? Besides, obviously, you know, the freaking ladder spot that busted Finn open. What about the Edge was on the table. Finn climbs up halfway to the cell, which, of course, we had the silver Hell in the Cell back, as, you know, pretty much confirmed online this past weekend, but thank God. And Finn goes for the freaking coup de grace from God knows how high in the air, misses as Edge gets off the table and just goes ankle first through this table, and easily could have broken ankle. Luckily, seems fine, but that was just a crazy spot right there. What else do we have? I believe Edge hit a spear, obviously, and then I think after that he hit the concerto for the finish, which obviously, storybook ending there, that's kind of where the, kind of one of the basis of this storyline has been Finn taking out Edge with the concerto, taking out Beth with the concerto. Now Edge, you know, ends the story at WrestleMania with the concerto to Finn Balor. So great stuff there, man. And Edge bringing back the Brood a little bit in the entrance. He actually had a picture of Edge, of himself, Christian, and Gangrel on the back of his ring jacket, which I thought was awesome. Finn bringing back the Demon had a sick entrance. First time we've seen the Demon well, I think since Extreme Rules 2021, but yeah, anybody wants to remember that, what happened there, but it was awesome to see. I believe we talked about everything besides Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio. Listen, you guys know, if you watch the channel, I could turn this camera around, you guys would see Rey Mysterio stuff on the wall. I got Rey Mysterio figures over there. Rey Mysterio, this is a big weekend for him, my favorite wrestler of all time, going into the Hall of Fame. Damn right, I watched that Hall of Fame and had tears in my eyes throughout half of it, man. That is my guy. I'm so happy he got his recognition as he's still active, man, and said in an interview this week that he's still going until he's 50 years old, which I don't believe is until the end of 2024, which is like, let's freaking go. We still got a bunch more time with Rey Mysterio, man, but awesome Hall of Fame speech, man. I just happy to see him get his recognition. And then last night, or Saturday night, you know, two nights ago at this point, Rey versus Dominic. Dominic gets this awesome entrance as they show him freaking in the cell, in the prison cell. Comes out, you know, in handcuffs, assisted by police, wearing a Rey Mysterio mask. You know, he's got purple, obviously the purple Judgment Day getup, but the designs on his gear look very Eddie Guerrero-esque. Just an awesome freaking entrance for Dominic, man. And the heat this kid gets is super cool, man. I love seeing it, man. I love that Dominic Mysterio, of all people, is one of the most hated people in WWE. It's Roman Reigns, Dominic Mysterio. Maybe you can throw Austin Theory in there as well. Like, and Dominic on some nights gets the loudest reaction. No, like, straight up. Like, if we're being honest here, Rey Mysterio's entrance. You want to talk about getting teary-eyed? I got teary-eyed multiple times this weekend, and luckily no tears actually fell, even though I wouldn't be ashamed to say if they did, but I'm gonna be honest and say none of them fell. Just got a little teary-eyed. We got Snoop Dogg driving a lowrider with Rey Mysterio in it, whose gear was awesome, by the way, coming out, and as they make their way through the tunnel into SoFi Stadium, they freaking play Eddie Guerrero's music. And as soon as that hit, I brought this chair out that I'm sitting in every video. I brought this out the living room. I was sitting in this chair because I like sitting in it. Viva La Raza hits. That was me. And the tear ducts were filled. I was hoping somebody was going to come out in a low rider. A lot of people, including myself, thought Dominic was going to do it. But then Rey came out and they played the Eddie Guerrero theme song for like 20 seconds. That made my night right there. Like, the match could have been 5 minutes, and I would have been, like, satisfied. And then, obviously, Rey's music hit. He comes down to the ring. Angie and Aaliyah at ringside. And just what a story told, man. So many good stories told this weekend, man. And just felt like so many good payoffs this weekend. And just... This was awesome, man. This meant so much to me, personally, as a fan of WWE, as a fan of Rey Mysterio. I would not be sitting here making this video right now if I had never watched WrestleMania 21 and never saw Rey Mysterio versus Eddie Guerrero. And how fitting that we were back in Los Angeles, Rey Mysterio fighting Dominic. It was almost like a full circle moment for me, in a sense. But I could sit here and rant and rave about all the spots in this matchup, but you guys know the deal that went down, man. We got Dominic being a freaking awesome heel throughout this match. His mom slaps him. He throws water in his sister's face. Rey takes out his belt and finally beats his son's ass. We had Legado del Fantasma making a save as Judgment Day was at ringside. We had Bad Bunny, who was on commentary, getting involved, which I assume is going to lead to Bad Bunny and Rey Mysterio, or Bad Bunny, Rey Mysterio, and Santos Escobar versus the Judgment Day in either a 2-on-2 or a 6-man tag at Backlash in Puerto Rico. So it remains to be seen what's going to happen there. I'm sure we'll find out a little bit more tonight on Raw. Rey Mysterio gets the win, as I predicted, and I really wasn't confident in that prediction. I thought Dominic was going to win, but it just felt like the most sense, would make the most sense for me for Rey Mysterio to win here. And then maybe we'll have this tag at Backlash. If there's a draft, I would say split them up for the better part of the year. And then, in my opinion, we get round two. Like, literally, this is what I would do. And maybe you don't have to wait this whole time. Maybe you just move on after SummerSlam. Like, maybe you do the rematch in SummerSlam, Dominic wins, you move on after that. But what I would do is have that tag match, which would, again, was most likely going to happen at Backlash, and I would split these guys up for the rest of the year. I'd send Judgment Day to SmackDown, since Rhea is obviously going to be ruling as the champ. Rey Mysterio and Legado, LWO, which we didn't even talk about, reforming on SmackDown. Latino World Order, I would send them to Monday Night Raw. And we do not touch Rey and Dominic until freaking Royal Rumble, in the Royal Rumble match. And we set up Rey versus Dominic, the rematch for WrestleMania 40, where Dominic finally beats his father. That's what I would do. I mentioned that in my prediction video. But I feel like we laid some groundwork for it here. Ray beats Dominic in probably, you know, honestly, this was probably my favorite match of the weekend for sentimental reasons. But I mean, I could sit here and say so many of these matches were freaking great, but for sentimental reasons, this was probably my favorite match of the weekend because it just meant the world to me, honestly. But I think we talked about everything here, man. Obviously, we spent the majority of this video, or at least the first half of it, talking about the main event because there's a lot to dive into here. And we jumped around from night one to night two, but I just felt like that was a better way for me to give my thoughts, my honest thoughts, and just, you know, quick thoughts, if you will, on WrestleMania 39. As I mentioned, I'm not a match-by-match breakdown guy. Oh, Theory hit the A-Town down. Cena kicked out. Cena went for the end. I'm just not that guy. I like to pick out my favorite moments, talk about the results, talk about the storylines, and we'll see what happens from there. But overall, guys, I don't think I, you know, forgot anything that I wanted to talk about. However, if I did, I will be back, of course, with several videos this week on the channel. We have the Bell to Bell podcast coming out on Wednesday morning, which I'm sure I'm going to give some more WrestleMania thoughts on. We're going to be talking about the Raw after Mania on there as well. Unless something really crazy, like I have to sit down and make a video right now about this, happens on Raw, that'll probably be the next piece of content that you guys see. And then I have a couple of videos in mind. Just kind of talk about overall stories, man. And I definitely want to see what happens on Raw to get into some of this stuff, like what's going to happen with the world title situation, where we're heading for Backlash, where we're heading towards the summer, maybe some early SummerSlam thoughts, what we could possibly see there. So expect some videos throughout this week discussing all of that. And again, Bell to Bell, episode 2 of the podcast right here on the No Nation Wrestling YouTube channel drops Wednesday morning. So stay tuned for that. Do me a favor, guys. Let me know your WrestleMania 39 thoughts overall, night one, night two, all that jazz down below in the comments section. Always love seeing you guys, you know, leave your thoughts down there, starting some conversations. And after such an epic weekend, I definitely want to know what you guys are thinking, man. But thank you guys, if you sat through this whole video, for staying with me. I hope you guys enjoyed WrestleMania 39. I definitely did. It was probably my favorite WrestleMania that I've honestly watched, you know, whether I was there live or, you know, watching from home in, I don't even know how long. I mean, it's probably the most fun I've had watching WrestleMania since maybe 31, to be perfectly honest. Like, and I was at 35, and I still had a blast, but like it's two different perspectives, if you will. So if I take that out and just talk about the at-home, you know, viewing perspective, this is probably the funnest I've had watching WrestleMania since 31. We all know how, you know, great that show was and how it ended and all that stuff. But awesome time. One of my favorite WrestleManias, honestly, ever. I think it personally, in my opinion, is. We all have our opinions, so you guys can let me know yours down below. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. Join the channel if you'd like. We'll be back this week for more content. Thank you guys for checking out this video. I'll see you guys soon. Peace. We'll be right back.